Phil Leonis, Ilana Rain, and Dean Haglund in downtown Los Angeles. Alex Leftuke, Ed Wellman, Nicola Clancy, and Tasha Turney in downtown Lincoln, England. What's not to love, especially if you're measuring time via the Mayans?
The following takes place between the hours of 5:02 a.m. and 6 a.m. GMT.
Tea. That's what you're looking for, Sarah. Tea. Okie dokie. Yes, in case you're sort of thinking, Tasha Turney. Where is she then? You know, Nicola Clark. Well, Nicola did actually appear in the early part of the programme, but she is actually working in the very near future, so she may be listening. I don't think she will be listening online, actually. I wonder if Natalie Tuck is listening, you know, or is she too busy actually preparing her cake for the cake-off challenge in the next part of the whole sequence, which is back into the morning when we have the return of Nikki Wells, who will be coming through. And as we actually look ahead through the morning sequence, I see, as well as Phil Gibbons from Ridgeside Falconry and Ferret Racing, and Donna Davis, of course, from Wales, with another virtual routine. We've got Paul Ratcliffe, top artist Stephen Bones from Web Aristocrat, or rather the Aristocrat Pet Supply Company. Ian Lennox is joining us, Janie Booth is with us, and Penny Roberts, Henny Penny herself, will be kicking off the 9 o'clock slot. And then we'll be sort of just motoring through the rest of the day, as is our wont here on Siren 107.3 FM. Steve Court is still with us in the studio. Yay! Ed Wellman's still with us in the studio. Ed, you're going to be off now to hopefully contact Los Angeles. So would you like to do that now? Exactly. We'll keep it speech-based. We won't actually go musical, because, you know, there are people who might be sort of thinking, enough, you know, we want to have more, you know, ramifications, considerations, contemplations on the last 5,000 plus years that we've been on the planet. You know, how was the 14th century for you, Steve?
It was
all right. Well, it was like a meh sort of decade, really.
Yeah, sort of meh.
I was very tempted to get in one of our top sort of colleagues who's a medieval specialist, but I thought, meh. Never mind. Only kidding, D. You know, celebrate good times. If you want to get in touch with us, of course, you can reach us anytime, studio@sirenonline.co.uk. If you have been sending in emails, etc., we haven't been responding, it's just because one of our computer screens is not functioning. And, you know, I'm sure that when some of the other fine computer people come in, they'll press a button and suddenly magical things will actually happen, and we might be able to say, oh, we've had lots of people calling, or not. But if you want to get in touch with us directly, do what some of our fine folk have been doing and use the Facebook site. That we can do. Tweet us. Sort things through from that point of view. Those are the ways forward, you know. Just simply at Siren FM, or indeed at Southside Broadsea. They'll get through to us, as indeed will other sort of setups as well, you know. So it's, well, there's no excuse, really. We might even put you on. No, I don't think we would put you on air. It depends who you are, really. If you're the Prime Minister, possibly. Mm-hmm. You know, sort of from Buckingham Palace, possibly as well. Doesn't look as though Ed's actually managed to get through at all, does it? He's coming all the way back now. Coming all the way back from the sort of the reception area via Studio 1B, all the way through Studio 1C. He's opening up the door now into Studio 1A. Yes, and he's going to say something like,
they need 10 minutes.
There you are. Yeah, they need 10 minutes, 600 seconds to work through. Just as well, we've got a certain amount of flexibility built into the production. Anyway. Don't get me started on timekeeping. You know, they need 10 minutes. Well, they've had 5,000 years! Sorry.
And the rest.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know? Come on.
To be precise. Suddenly, they need 10 minutes. Honestly, you know... Any particular artist that you like, Steve, that you'd like to see if we've got in the particular system here, too? Maybe have a musical break.
I feel too on the spot to think of the name of anybody.
We did have a request, actually, on Twitter earlier.
Yes.
From Dave.
Ah.
He said, can we have... Is it 2468 for all the truckers?
Tom Robinson Band.
Do you think we've got that in the old music?
Well, not so old in many ways, really. I mean, it's Tom Robinson, who actually was brother of Matthew Robinson, who went on to direct Doctor Who and Biker Grove, I believe. So, exciting things about once met Matthew Robinson. I think he might have actually moved into a different dimension. Whether we have got 2468, I would have said it's a reasonable chance, but I don't know. You know, very popular, obviously, with the Six Music sort of crowd, etc. Is it popular with truckers? Well, only the truckers would be able to tell. Maybe we should actually ask our trucker, who's also a specialist in coursing for lurchers, which is quite interesting. I suppose it's something to think about when you're travelling up and down the motorways, insisting on, and again, that's one of those unanswered questions, why is it that, you know, motorway truckers always insist on blocking out lines and various other systems? I don't know. There's no sign whatsoever of it coming through on the system, so sorry, Dave, it looks as though you might well be disappointed in terms of expecting the Tom Robinson Band. Although you did say it's 2468 motorway. We could sing it. 2468 and that sort of thing. But I'm not going to go
we didn't
further.
Join in there.
No. Well, unfortunately, Alex has stolen all the lines that I knew from that song.
So that's about
those four
it,
words.
I remember, by the way, going to it. And that doesn't seem to be working in any way, shape, or form. If we can sort it out, we'll sort it out. But, yeah, regret. But anyway, the thought was there.
What about Newton Faulkner?
Now, that is a gentleman who I believe we may well be able to say yes, because he talks about all sorts of positive things and various other things. I think Clouds was one of his uplifting pieces that he actually came with. I'll put an extra S on there, otherwise it'll be like an unproofread scenario. Mr. Computer will be very confused. But Newton Faulkner, now, yes, Dream Catch Me, If This Is It, Gone in the Morning. You see, they're just rolling out from respect to Newton Faulkner. Clouds?
I think we'll leave it between you, between Clouds and If This Is It.
Ed, Clouds or If This Is It?
Clouds.
Yeah, I mean, If This Is It suggests that sort of notion of the Yamiathon, you know, let's go Clouds.
Hi, I'm Elliot Morris, and you're listening to Live at the Ash Scott on Siren FM.
Well, actually, no. Sorry, that's an Elliot Morris drop for a programme on Siren, which is much hallowed and much venerated, etc. But I thought it was just a generic drop, as we actually say. But no, that was Elliot doing a specific drop for Live at the Ashcott, which is obviously a Monday night show where the guys come in and they do some splendid work. But, you know, it's not the Midweek Drive Marathon, is it? You know? Sorry, Elliot. But so on. But Elliot is going to be taking part, hopefully, in this show later on today, isn't he, Steve?
He is indeed.
And because of that, we thought it would be useful to give our early morning listeners, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed that they are, as they kind of rub the little sand out of their eyes and say, where are we? Is the Python show still going? Is the world still here? Yes, it is. Well done. This is important. Perhaps you'd like to introduce a truly significant Elliot Morris track. Morris? Elliot?
Elliot Morris.
I'd gone Japanese there for a moment. Yeah. Never mind. Elliot Morris track.
Elliot Morris, who is the music patron for Lincoln Inspired, absolutely brilliant guy, and he basically epitomises everything that Lincoln Inspired is hopefully going to do in the future. So
this
is
the world.
Not the end of the world, but however, this song particularly relevant for the Myathon, which is Elliot Morris, The End of the World.
The end of the world, but I'll be right here until the end of the world.
So they have cheese platters in Los Angeles.
That this would all stop.
No. Just in case you were wondering. Elliot, sorry. But there we are. I don't wish it would all stop. You know, it's just fantastic. It continues over onwards. Cheese platters. We are waiting now to see whether those 10 minutes have passed, whether Los Angeles is ready to take us in the studios of Combat Radio and Chilpack Hollywood. They should have actually started by now. They'll be there. Obviously, they'll be taking our feed later on in the day just to... And you know, hopefully, we can get an interview with some of the cheeses, the big cheeses, who are actually there. Maybe not. Steve, are you enjoying your time here on the Siren? Because it's probably, rather like myself, the first time we've ever actually been on air in the Lincolnshire area at this time of the day.
So far, I'm absolutely loving it. Oh. I've got to say, yesterday I wasn't quite so anticipating a good 3 a.m.
When we said we'd take that, absolutely, it was a whole range of things from that perspective. Hopefully we have liftoff now, phones are put down, and we will actually sort of say, good evening, Los Angeles. How are you?
Oh, we're doing great. We're actually, I think, seconds away from going live.
Hey!
We're live!
We are live! And it's been launched in her marvellous way by Ilana, the goddess that is Rain. Exactly. Ilana Rain, fantastic stuff. I think we feel Julian. It's the cheese platters that I think works. A combination of cheese platters, Dobermans, electricians really love that. Technical people are actually there. They've started. Have they done the bit where they actually say, you know, it's Chilpack Hollywood, you know, it's your friends in podcasting, you know, it's Dean Hagland. Have they done all that?
Oh, you know.
They're doing it now. Yeah. Whoa, this is what's awful. Has it made the journey from New York to...
I'm on the phone.
You're already on the phone with Alex Lefchuk.
Hi, Alex.
It's Dean Hagland. Dean Hagland connecting on that basis. Dean, this is a much better link than we had earlier in our particular show. You must feel a happy bunny now that you're actually, you know, here. It started. Finally, we are broadcasting shoulder to shoulder. This magic is happening.
Yes, you can hear in the background Phil streaming live just as we're on your show.
Yeah.
So
We'll be linking together in exactly 7 hours, I believe.
I know. And that's, of course, you know, quite apart from the sort of regular updates we'll be taking from either from anybody who happens to answer the phone, in many ways. You know, Dean, let's talk to us, because, I mean, we're providing the listener here, and we're talking globally, with a choice which is just quite simply a smorgasbord of sophisticated sensationalism. There we are, a sensationally sophisticated smorgasbord of true... Exactly. And I'm thinking, you know, we need to just trail ahead, because people might sort of think, well, we could stick with sirenonline.co.uk and actually talk about Ridgeside Falconry and Ferret Racing. We could actually have Shane and Sheila Rimmer. We can have Michelle Monroe coming back, etc., the director of the Lincoln Drill Hall, follow through the cake-off, deal with Henny Penny, Janie Boo, the whole people of other things. Or we can actually go to Chilpack Hollywood, or do both from that point of view. What can they look forward to with you guys over there if they decide to actually sort of say, well, we'll take a bit of this, we'll take a bit of that, we'll kind of get things together? You know, what will they be doing?
Absolutely. Well, we're just getting all our technical things straightened out here.
Yes, excellent. Did I hear Phil say Sean O'Donnell there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because Sean O'Donnell is going to be with us in around about 20 minutes from now. It's amazing.
Fantastic.
It's just
amazing.
Exactly.
No, I'm going to put you on hold there, Alex.
Yes.
Because I got one technical thing going on my laptop. So I will let you just listen to the room ambiance.
Oh, wow. Hey, this is what Alexander Graham Bell was setting the whole thing through.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
Dean Agland setting up this whole notion of listening to the room ambience. In a strange way, I'm quite excited by this. You know, I feel that this is something that even our colleagues at the British Biscuit Corporation don't really sort of get, this kind of real level of quality across the whole basis. This ambience there. Let's just see what Phil's doing there.
Don't let the cocktail in my hand, the beer in front of you.
He sounds in good form, doesn't he? Mm. He sounds as though he's cooking with gas.
I'm sure we had some alcohol references last time we heard him, wasn't we?
We did indeed. Yeah. I mean, obviously, much as we'd love to eavesdrop in a magical way by doing this, you know, somehow I think that the quality of threshold of broadcasting to kind of, you know, carrying this signal through is, you know, we might need to sort of address this a couple of times. Let's hope Dean gets his podcasting thing sorted through. Do you think Ilana's been introduced as yet? Because we were passed on very quickly to Dean Hagland there. You know,
She was on the other end of the line.
She was, I know. Yeah.
She picked the phone up.
She did.
She's vanished now.
I know. How strange. Maybe she's making more friends with the Dobermans who are actually there.
That
we really need them to actually describe the scene. Because, in fact, have you looked at their webcam setup there? Can we actually look at the webcam? Because I think we should compare details on that. See, we did think about a webcam here. We'll have lots of images here, but we need to sort of soak up that notion of where it is. You know, clearly, this is what, again, webcams are invented for, so you could look at two people, you know, across an Atlantic Ocean, just, you know, sorting things through. You're pressing those buttons. Are things coming through at all, Ed?
Combat radio, I'm looking at. Is that
correct? I think you probably need to go to chillpackhollywood.com. Go to chillpackhollywood.com, and the magic things should be sorted through for that. I think we'll be shortly taking a musical break. We've still got another performance coming up from Steve Court to actually work through on this basis. I'm not sure whether anybody's actually back with us or whether Dean's still sorting his things through.
Contributor to Alex Lefchuk's Midweek Drive. Oh, right. Oh,
you're still on the phone. Hello?
We haven't gone, Dean. We just were soaking up the ambience there. It's all right, you know. Hopefully those glitches have been sorted out and everything's well with the whole system. Splendid. You know, I've got to actually confirm as well that we are ensuring that for those people who might sort of think that, well, we love this, but we need to listen again to it, that in 2013, assuming we survive this marathon and everything else, that through chillpackhollywood.com or indeed southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com, people will be able to get many, many of the audio highlights of this treat and entertain themselves until the next end of days. I'll take that away from that point of view. Sean is obviously sort of online at present to the whole thing. Let's hope he doesn't, you know, his line isn't engaged when we come to him in about 15 or 20 minutes. It's going to be very confusing on that basis. It'll be like sort of battling over little artists, etc. And that would be so unseemly. It would be untrue. I thought Dean was coming back to us there, but I think he's probably given up again, basically. So he's decided to go back. They're just very excited. I blame those cheese platters.
Yes, it could well be.
And I think if they'd stayed with the cocktail sausages, they wouldn't have actually, you know, gone down the cheese platter route in any sort of sense of the whole routine. What's the next performance piece going to be, Steve?
The next performance piece is going to be one that I've written called Three Lions.
Well, hopefully that will come up either for our Battlestar Galactica person or indeed Ethan Dettmeyer as the thing proceeds and so on. We've got another Mike Dooley totally unique thought coming up as well, because we are in that particular time where it's time for another totally unique thought from Mike Dooley. We had his top 10 signs that a dream is coming through, etc. And as we lower the channel to our colleagues in Los Angeles who are sort of just heading off from that point of view there, so because otherwise we'd be interrupting all sorts of things, we'll actually open up Mike Dooley and say,
for all things and non-things that you may ever want, understand that sometimes the fastest way to get them is to forget them and to focus instead on just being the most amazing human being you can be, at which point all of your heart's desires, spoken or unspoken, will be drawn to you more powerfully than a magnet is drawn to steel. Have an amazing month, the universe. P.S. I trust you know that whenever I refer to you as a human being, I actually mean ancient intergalactic spiritual tidal wave of love and energy having a human experience. Yes? Good.
Sorted. That's very important. Well, here we are then. It's 5:25, and we've calmed down a little bit. We've still got our Battlestar Galactica. So I'm saying that quite glibly. Ed, are you familiar with the series Battlestar Galactica?
I'm afraid not just yet.
Oh.
No.
Well, you see, time to actually sort that thing through and just find out a little bit about the drive of human tribes and a whole heap of other goodies. Because Alan Stevens, of course, who will be on a plane to Canada sometime today, together with Fiona Moore, of course, they wrote the quintessential By Your Command, which also connected together with Ilana Rain and obviously her movie We Are All Cylons, and so on and so forth. Right, well, onwards ever onwards, as far as this whole broadcasting marathon is actually concerned, the broadcast-a-thon, and I did say we weren't going to sort of consistently refer to that, but it's just in case people are thinking, well, you know, why is it the same show as when we actually tuned in over 12 hours ago? You know, 12 and a half hours ago, we were actually listening to Ed Wellman, Alex Lefchuk, doing very, and they're still doing it. What's going on? Is it just a tape? No, it's not a tape. We are actually live. We are doing a whole setup from that point of view, and we're doing it. Why, Ed?
Because the world may have ended because of the Mayan calendar.
It may.
But it hasn't ended yet.
Exactly. So that's the important thing, that, you know, we're bearing that in mind all the way.
There are one or two other radio stations asking for help, saying, somebody please contact us because we're not sure if the world is still alive.
Yeah, well, you see, that's...
They copied us.
You know, sometimes you just think you have to sort of rise above it, Ed.
Yes.
That's what we do all the time, rise above that whole sequence and progress into a whole new world. I think it's time we went for a little touch of Deacon Blue. What say you?
Always a good thing.
There's some strange nobility in a post that actually comes through, which says, and I quote, "Loving the Myathon halfway through and the guys don't sound totally punchy." I presume that the adjective punchy, or the verb punchy, is meant to suggest some kind of violence, which we wouldn't recommend in any way, shape or form, and sounds vaguely Republican in nature. Don't want to go down that line for obvious reasons. Cameron Tilbury, welcome back. How are you, sir?
Hey, how's it going? It's great here in Nash, a little windy, but we're good. How about you guys?
Well, you know, a little bit wet, but, you know, there we are. Is it still raining, by the way? Interesting enough, we should have, hopefully closed-circuit television will actually pick this up and we'll be able to reveal it in future years, but Steve, would you like to just demonstrate, perhaps not demonstrate, but actually talk us through how you were trying to attract our attention, when obviously in pitch black, and as there, you're outside in the dark and you're thinking, how do I actually get in here? How do I wave?
I arrived at 3 a.m. outside the studio, to not really have thought through the fact that the doors would be locked.
Yes.
That from the great windows of the building that we're in, you can see into the window of the studio.
We can't see out there.
So I was stood for a little while, just, you know, hopefully looking that someone would see me outside the window.
No.
Failed.
Yeah.
So I waited a little longer in the rain and the cold, and then I thought, well, maybe I'll just wave a little bit. So I waved a little bit.
Yeah.
Then that didn't work, so I decided I'd do some sort of bird impersonation.
Bird impersonation.
Started doing a little bit of sort of arm waving and flapping, thinking I'm on my own and there's only Alex that's going to see me out the window, so everything's fine. Before realising that the student union bar is right behind me.
Got another nut arm. campus.
And I've got a window full of students sat in the student union bar watching me flap like a bird at the window of Siren FM at 3 in the morning.
Hey, that's performance art. You know, that's what it's all about. You could have been trying to communicate with swans.
Yes.
Yeah, I spend many a time liking to do that. It used to be squirrels. So have you been with us then across the airwaves, Cameron? Have you been managing to tune in, and have we been doing your artists proud?
Yeah, I'm really happy. They've been fantastic, and everybody's really happy, and they sound great, and you guys are sounding great. So this is one for the history books, I think.
Well, there we are, you see. It's
not any history book that anyone would want to read, but still, a history book.
Exactly. Don't forget, of course, if you're sort of thinking, oh, we want more, well, there's always the Midweek Drive and the Midweek Drive Morning Edition and lots of other bonuses that are actually there. We intend to continue in 2013, quite rightly so, bringing at least 198 hours of broadcasting across the airwaves and, indeed, podcasts and various other bits and pieces. Highlights of the show for yourself, Cameron, so far?
Well, from my perspective, for my artist, I think Jolia was fantastic. We were listening to her, and also Tonya really rocked it. So we're really happy with that.
I'm not sure about Clean Hell's Cole's comment, though, about Jolia would keep me up all night, please, you know?
Well, I have to tell you...
It's not your alter ego, Cole. Is it?
Clean Head Cole is an old friend of Jolie's. She used to write songs with him, and he lives in London. So,
Well, in which case, we say hello to Clean Head. I didn't think I'd ever find myself in a broadcasting world saying that. Hi to Clean Head, but we just have. Yeah. So, there we are. He'll have gone by now, no doubt, in London. He'll be asleep. Or maybe he'll be waking up. I don't know. Still, it's great stuff. Nice to see that we're bonding on that basis. Cameron, which of the fine tunes that you've selected do you think we should have a reprise of now? Because clearly we had the selection earlier, which was your Fairy Tale of New York. Please do not ask for Psychic Surgery. It'll just give me a nervous breakdown. Okay? Sorry.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
This was problematic on that sort of basis. But other than that, which one would you like us to dig out and say, yeah, I think that deserves another spin. That deserves another bit of airplay blasting.
See, this is tough because...
I know. It's like asking you to choose between your favourite sort of siblings. I know. It's okay.
Well, you know, I think...
I feel it, Cameron. Reach out.
I would be remiss in my husbandly duties if I didn't say, let's hear the song Up All Night.
You would, yes. Yeah. Is that your final decision?
That's my final decision, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't even have to phone a friend or anything.
You don't. And, of course, no. Steve, do you know why Jolia Tilbury actually performed Up All Night for us? Do you know what the sort of rationale was for this? Any ideas? Well, what are we doing now?
Is it because you've been up all night.
Hey.
You know, who was it said that education is dumbing down processes?
That's right.
Yeah, it's amazing. We just had a friendly face there, didn't we? Yeah, we got an arrival. I think she might have her own card, actually.
But, I think I'd just like to say to Cameron as well, it's probably a very wise choice when put in a position of choosing.
Quite literally.
I think this was a very good
It was sensible.
To make.
Yeah. Does your wife say...
Otherwise, you might be up all night when you have to sleep on the couch.
I think Jolia's... I mean, you know, the fact that she was sort of doing this in a Nashville bar... not up all night, I should say, but doing the phone link, etc., proved that, you know, she was sorted from that perspective. It was very important. Yeah.
We have kind of a standing Thursday night, Thursday late afternoon thing with some old friends, and so we took the laptop computer down so they could hear it, and because they'd never heard her do anything like this before, so... It just seemed like a perfect
It's wonderful. Yeah. You might have thought, by the way, I was filling you that. Has he lost it? No, it's all right. Here we are, Jolia Tilbury, Up All Night.
Ianis, Ilana Rain, and Dean Hagland in downtown Los Angeles. Alex Leftuke, Ed Wellman, Nicola Clancy, and Tasha Turney in downtown Lincoln, England. What's not to love? Especially if you're measuring time via the millions.
You see... Cameron, you bring in a bit of Jolia Tilbury and instantly Tasha Turney turns up. Good morning, Tasha.
Morning.
Yay.
Morning.
Morning. Morning. Exactly. Tasha, who's been getting... what have we been doing in the last sort of 12 hours or so whilst we've been producing radio quality stuff?
I slept for a long time.
Right.
That was always a good help.
Yeah.
And then I potted around, did a little bit of shopping. Went to work. And then I baked my cake.
Marvellous. She's serious stuff here. Cake-a-thon coming up later on this morning.
So you can have your cake and eat it too.
Nice. Yeah. See what you did there? Very good. You know, this is why we're not sounding punchy. Anyway, moving on.
Yes.
Please. Ooh, please. Sort ourselves through this whole setup. Last two questions for Cameron, because hopefully we're going to Sean O'Donnell from Battlestar Galactica's fan club very shortly. Ed.
Cameron, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us this morning?
It's been great,
Once again. And can we look forward to connecting with you at some point in the future?
Absolutely.
You're too kind, thank you.
I think he deserves another Partridge Family tune myself. Well, that's good.
No.
Would you like the Kinks and Well-Respected Man?
We could do the Kinks, yeah. I would prefer Waterloo Sunset, but Well-Respected Man would work.
Well, I suppose, actually, technically, it would be Waterloo Sunrise at this particular stage. But, you know,
yeah, well, there you go.
You did actually ask for Waterloo Sunset. I'm sure we can actually find this in the system some way, shape, or form.
I think that should be actually the national anthem for England, Waterloo Sunset. It's just such a great song.
And not the theme to the Archers? Tum-ti-tum-ti-tum-ti-tum, tum-ti-tum-ti-tum-tum. That's strange.
No. Not now. Not ever.
Not now. Not ever. Here's Ray. Did we ask Cameron, is he coming back, by the way?
We did.
Is he coming back?
He said yes.
He will be back then. Not the Mayans, not the end of the world, not the Myathon, although it is on the Myathon extravaganza show, but the introductory theme to the fabulous Sean O'Donnell. How are you, Sean?
I am spectacular. How are you this doomsday evening?
Well, exactly. You see, in Los Angeles, it's 9:40 p.m. You guys haven't even left the 20th of December as yet. We in the United Kingdom, of course, we're well into the 21st day of December 2012, and we're happily just continuing ever onwards, delighted to be able to speak to the Battlestar Galactica soul that is Sean O'Donnell. Sean, share with us, what's the official title you'd like us to regale you with as we connect over the next few moments?
They call me the president of the fan club.
Yes.
I do wear many hats, though. I'm also an organizer of the upcoming Galacticon 3 convention in Houston, Texas next year. Sean, how about that?
Sean is great. Title. President Sean, you know, as opposed to President Rosalind. You know, could be President Rosalind, but no, that's obviously
that
female.
That works.
Exactly.
That works.
Quick introductions for the benefit of people who are sort of wondering, who's in the studio? We have Ed Wellman.
Hello, good morning.
We have Steve Court.
Hello, good morning.
We have Natasha Turney.
Morning.
There you are, you see. Bright, sparky, morning, except technically it's evening in Los Angeles, so you might be confused already. Don't worry, it's the time zone. Now, Sean, have you already appeared on the Chilpack Hollywood Myathon? Because we heard your name being mentioned there as we were connecting with our colleagues, obviously Phil Leonis, Ilana Rain, and Dean Hagland earlier.
Well, that would be Ilana Rain, actually. That would be the connection right there.
Right, good.
So, yeah. I've worked with Ilana for a little while now. She's a great director, too. So.
And, of course, we are all Cylons is more a statement of fact as opposed to a kind of question, really. You know, we are all Cylons. End of. You know, period.
Exactly.
Very good. So, is it fair to say that you're mostly a Ron Moore Battlestar Galactica follower, or do you go back to Glenn Larson and say, actually, I really appreciated Lorne Green as Commander Adama, and at the end of the day, Edward James Olmos, nice guy though he should maybe have stayed with Miami Vice?
There's many schools of thought. When I started up with this, my entry level actually was working with Richard Hatch. And that's actually how the fan club got its start. And it was before the Reimagined series was actually launched. And, you know, actually the fan club was something that that Richard Hatch suggested that, you know, we really needed. And that's kind of how that started. And it snowballed. And, you know, eventually, you know, it got to the point where I think the studios felt pressured. Point they said, well, maybe we should, maybe pressured but persuaded that maybe a new Battlestar Galactica series was viable. So, and in dealing with the fans, you know, it's a big thing. So, I mean, we welcome all schools of thought. So, my opinion is it's all good.
There are those of us who can remember Susan Sackett when she was personal assistant to Gene Roddenberry in a whole coordinated letter-writing campaign. Letters. Aren't they quaint? Who writes a letter these days when these email scenarios are put together? I don't know. Anyway, back in the 1960s, 1970s and so on, where it was very much the fan campaign of Trekdom and so on that kind of brought the series back, obviously, for a third season, which then cancelled, brought back as an animated series, led to a whole range of other bits and pieces. As far as fandom is concerned with respect to Battlestar Galactica, you know, it is one of those shows which clearly has been reinvented, reimagined. There is a connection with Trek, of course, because Rod Moore obviously came to the Star Trek universe with his work on Season 3 and followed things through with the joys of the Borg. And you could actually probably justifiably, Sean, write a treatise on how similar the Borg are to the Cylons in several ways. But I won't go there because, you know, time is too short. We've only got another 12 hours to go through and we could be on for days on that one. But are there kind of, is it something where you kind of locked into this whole Battlestar Galactica thing as opposed to Trek, or would you say, actually, we're one big universe, let's celebrate the joys of fandom in general? Or do you get territorial? If somebody actually comes out and says, I actually quite like Airwolf, do you think, leave the room now?
No, I mean, fans are fans of many things. You know, we're dealing with a science fiction genre. I mean, everybody has their favorites. Obviously, you know, we focus on Battlestar Galactica. But people are fans of Star Trek. They're fans of, be fans of Red Dwarf. They could be fans of Doctor Who. They could be fans of, you know, there's many different things. There's some they're going to like, some they're not going to like.
And yet, astonishingly,
astonishingly,
in the studio, I'm looking at three faces now who effectively would probably say that any of those series has just left them cold. Tasha? Yep, there
what
we
do
are.
You mean by left them cold?
Well, insofar as you wouldn't necessarily say, ooh, Battlestar Galactica, I must sort of buy that DVD box set.
Well, it wouldn't be my first choice.
Wouldn't be her first choice.
I like Battlestar Galactica. But then equally, I don't think there's one that he's mentioned there in his you might like this, that, or the other
yes.
that I don't
you
like.
You don't like, yeah.
So
well, that's good
I
stuff.
Agree with that as a sentiment. Yeah. I think you can like more than one thing without having to...
Because sometimes fandom gets very territorialised, yeah. You know, even in the fans themselves. There are people who will say, yeah, you know, Starbuck is Dirk Benedict. You can't possibly have Katie Sackhoff there.
You see, I'm not at the point of having a tattoo
That argument did arise, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, you know. And, you know, much as we appreciate Dirk's role as face man in the A-Team and the wonderful opening sequence where he looks at the Cylon warrior who passes him by, you know, Dirk, you know, the fact is it was a reimagining. It was a different series. Really relax. That's important, though. That's what we'd say with
Dirk.
Well,
as I like to, what I like to do is stress to people that they're two different shows and they're not the same thing, and it's like comparing apples and oranges.
Here's a pop question for you, Sean, and I suspect you'll be able to sort of bat this one right out of the park. What's the connection? Okay. What's the connection between Zachary Smith and Battlestar Galactica? That's the first sort of basic question. That's a very easy question.
That's way too easy.
It is, isn't it? Really, it's ridiculous. Let's just see how easy it is. Do you know the answer, Steve?
No.
We are. Yeah. Well, I mean, all right. Let's talk about Zachary Smith, played by Jonathan Harris, of course, who went on to portray Lucifer in Battlestar Galactica. By your command. Yes. Very anyway.
That was him.
Precisely. And other connections between Lost in Space, the Owen Allen classic, Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. No, that was Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea. Another classic of its kind, but still. In terms of Lost in Space, you also had, of course, the delightful June Lockhart, who portrayed Maureen Robinson in there, whose daughter Anne Lockhart was, of course...
Sheba.
Sheba. You see, this is what I just... If Sean had actually managed to botch any of those questions, we would have had to cut the phone link short and said, Sean, you're a fraud as president of Battlestar Galactica. Thankfully, without any pressure...
Yeah, it would be bad.
Yeah, it would be good. President of the Battlestar Galactica fan club, those two questions come at you. You know, I can appreciate sort of folk having... I mean, Natasha, it would have been point, you would have been still looking, wouldn't you? You've been trying to...
I would have been lost.
You would have been lost. In space.
In space.
Exactly.
Or anywhere.
And time. Ed, I didn't even have the heart, really.
No.
Yes.
I will pose two trick questions.
Okay.
If that's possible.
Yes.
I can name two individuals that are involved with both series that have very integral parts, though different, but integral parts of both shows. Mm-hmm. I don't want to give a hint, mm-hmm. but there's two people whose names appear on both series.
Are we talking?
I don't know if anybody wants.
Are we talking Lost in Space and Battlestar Galactica here?
No, we're talking the original Battlestar.
Ah, we're talking original Battlestar Galactica and reimagined Battlestar Galactica.
Too much.
No, that's understandable. Well, I'd say Richard Hatch is well in there because clearly he appeared both as Adama's son Apollo in the first series, and of course was that very dubious politician in the second series. So I'd say that's one. Is that right, Richard Hatch?
That is correct.
Yeah,
that was the easy one.
I know.
But who was the second one?
Who was the second one who played it? Well, it wasn't Stu Phillips, though he did write a wonderful theme tune to the original Battlestar Galactica with Glenn Larson. You know, they wrote it together. They also wrote Buck Rogers in the 25th Century. Another sort of classic of its time. That's what I feel we should start up another campaign, Sean, to bring back Tweaky. You know, if only to actually go through one of these broadcasting shows with biddy, 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 whiny, whiny, biddy, 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 biddy.
Another Battlestar connection and another Lost in Space connection.
Yeah, very much so. Although it wasn't the same when Mel Blanc stopped voicing Tweaky for a wee while and he started coming off like some sort of fey camp character who was just, you know, please get it right, you know, it's just not right. I think you've stumped us in the studio. Steve is looking bemused. What is that other connection? Richard Hatch was obviously the easy one. Is there any clue to get the second answer together? I can almost hear the Battlestar Galactica fans screaming, screaming.
You actually mentioned his name just a second ago.
Dirk Benedict? Lorne Greene?
No.
Glenn Larson?
No, unfortunately.
Stu Phillips?
That would be the one. No, you got it right there. It was Glenn Larson.
Glenn Larson. Well,
Glenn Larson, what was the producer on the original show and came aboard as
executive producer.
I think I believe he's credited as executive producer.
Executive producer. And what's not to love about a man who, through his auspices, actually led to Don Belisario developing Airwolf. And, of course, responsible through Magnum PI for Jean Bruce Scott's role as Maggie in Magnum PI. You see, it all comes together. I won't even get started on the excitement that is the Fall Guy, but that's another world entirely. You know.
It is.
Sean, I just feel as though it's been probably the most perfect end to our 12th hour of broadcasting that I could honestly have wished for in this marathon calendar world. I need to ask you two final questions. First of all, thanks to Ilana Rain, obviously, for coordinating this. Are you happy with what we've actually gone through? Has it been a reasonably interesting telephonic link with your good self, Sean O'Donnell, president of the Battlestar Galactica International Fan Club?
It has been superb. I'm glad to be able to speak. And we do have members there in the United Kingdom. I'm glad that we were able to, get on the radio and speak to them.
Well, we like to feel that is what communication is all about, which is fantastic.
It is all communication.
So can we actually look forward to, in 2013, given that it's looking good so far, Natasha's come in from the cold and said, we're still there, the planet is still around.
It is still here.
Can we look forward to connecting with you again to talk more Battlestar Galactica magic and finding out more about Sean O'Donnell, life, the universe, and also, I even forgot to mention Fiona Moore and Alan Stevens, the debt of gratitude they actually owe Ilana Rain and Sean O'Donnell for the fantastic exemplary work by your command that they're producing to an unauthorised guide to the series, but a very detailed, in-depth, almost academic guide to the series. Volume 2 in the works already.
I was just pleased to get a credit in the book.
they promised me the same as well. They didn't deliver, but they promised me I'm in volume 2. I don't know what the hell. Sean, will you return?
I will return anytime that you would like me to come on the show. I'd be happy to do it.
I think a round of applause for Sean. Coming up in the next part of the production show, we might as well talk up to the news at 6 o'clock, because, you know, we might as well sort of stay with us. And well, thank you, Sean, again, as we head off. We will be hopefully back to Ethan Dettmeyer. We've got a chap called Ashok, who might well be dealing with Christmas lights somewhere over the Atlantic. We'll have to see. He may be joining us, he may not. We've got a performance piece. Yes, another performance piece from the fabulous Steve Court, and probably more details from Dave Ramsden, a Yorkshire Terrier expert. Who would have thought we'd actually shift from Battlestar Galactica? Although, let's face it, there was, and here's another little one for you, Sean, what was the name of the robot dog that was basically the pet in Battlestar Galactica, the original series? It was
Muffet,
exactly, Muffet. Yeah, I was nearly going to say Boxy, but of course that was, you know,
that was Noah Hathaway.
That was Noah Hathaway, often confused for a canine, I believe, in his career, which is why perhaps his acting.
I will say one thing, that last time I saw Noah, he did not have a robot dog with him.
Ah, the robot dog has been axed. Never mind. We had canine over in this country.
Noah's gotten a little older now. He doesn't need the robot dog.
Particularly one that goes, meow, meow, meow. It sounded like a cat to me in many ways, really, but it's the sort of yelping that got to me.
Yeah, every time, last time I saw Noah, I said, what did you do with it? He said, I left the Daggett someplace.
He left the Daggett. Say no more. Hopefully we haven't destroyed too many illusions. I think Santa Claus might have taken up the Daggett. If you want a Daggett for Christmas, just ask for it. Again, it's been fabulous. Sean, we'll connect again in the very near future. We're going up to the news now from the Sky News Centre. You're listening to the Broadcast-a-thon for the Myathon on Siren 107.3 FM. Here is the news from Sky.